Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Joining me right now, Benoit Vetturi. He is the CEO and co-founder of Mammoth Media. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So if you could start out by telling us, what is Mammoth Media?
Mammoth Media is a mobile media company. So we're publishing apps. The idea is to entertain users on the mobile screen 2 minutes at a time. We have two apps currently that are up in the charts, one called Wishbone and the other one called Yarn.
Awesome. Okay, well, we are going to dive more into your business, into your journey in just a second. But first, we like to play this game. It is called 60-Second CEO. So you can give me your quick instinctual answers, starting with, who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Eve Williams.
Someone is very disruptive in a bad way in your company, but they are good at what they do. Keep them or fire them?
Keep them.
How many hours do you sleep a night?
Six.
Do you work weekends?
Yes.
What is the first thing you do when you wake up?
Check my emails.
What rule do you live by?
Never give up.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how weird are you?
6.
When did you realize you have the strength and power to become an entrepreneur?
I still haven't realized it.
How would you describe yourself in one word?
Strong.
What superhero would you like to be?
Spider-Man.
I love it. You're like straight into the point. My kind of guy in this game. That's what we like. Now we have more time to slow it down, dive into your journey. So let's start with this. What does it mean to you to be an entrepreneur?
I mean, it could mean a lot of things, but for me, it's to take a shot at everything that you think could be a great idea and not be afraid of taking the risk. So being an entrepreneur is risky. And taking risk is part of the life of an entrepreneur.
Do you think you should just go for the risk, or do you think that there's such a thing as a calculated risk? How did you know that this was the risk you wanted to take?
You always try to age your risk and calculate how much risk you're taking. But unless you do it, you never know how much risk you're taking. So yes, I'm always trying to take the least amount of risk for the most rewards,
sure.
But you have to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were you doing before Mammoth Media?
Since I graduated from college, I just built companies. And so I did a total probably of like 12 startups until this one. And the one right before Mammoth Media was another media company that was a mobile ad network.
So tell me what it was like going straight into entrepreneurship and really being a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was in college and I was not really thrilled about going to classes and listening to what was going on. I wanted to run my business. I wanted to make money. I wanted to build things. And so that's what I did. First out of college, that was, you know, in 1999, the internet was getting strong and started thinking about what I could do on the internet. And I went for it.
So you are from France.
I am.
What point did you decide that you wanted to come to the States? And when did you realize, okay, maybe I could further my businesses if I did so?
After I sold my first startup out of college. So started it in college, kept going after graduating, sold it. And that's when I realized that, oh, maybe I should go somewhere else to pursue that entrepreneurship that I have in me. And I was talking with friends and it's like, why are you not moving to the States? That's probably where you will be able to accomplish most of the ideas that you have in mind. And I'm like, let's do this.
Any advice that you have for somebody moving to a new country and starting their businesses or growing their businesses here?
Yeah, I would say surround yourself with people that know what they are talking about. I think advice and guidance from strong people on all fronts, right? From legal to finance to all the different things that you need to build a business, especially when you move to a new country and it's a new set of rules, it's important to be surrounded by the right folks.
When you started your first business, were you ever afraid to fail? Did you ever consider quitting?
Of course, yes. And I still do. That's part of the journey.
Even quitting you every once in a while?
I mean, for a matter of like maybe half a second, like, what am I doing here? It's tough. But it's always the same thing. You're like, okay, no, I'm going to get back at it and I'm going to push through and I'm going to make it happen.
What keeps you going?
I think it's the reward when you build something that has an impact. That feeling when you accomplish that is strong, and I love it. So I keep seeking for it.
Sure. If you could go back in time and give your early entrepreneurial self advice, what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would say, like, probably take more risk. The younger you are, the more risk you can take. You don't necessarily have, you know, mortgage, family to take care of. So I think I would have taken more risk probably if I had myself right now. I was like, just take more risk, do it now.
And what about for someone who is not fresh out of college? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give them?
I would say to really, when you're getting into, a lot of people have ideas. And I think ideas are not enough in those days. So start to build what I would call a proof of concept, to really see if it can work, and to really see if it's a potential business. Don't give up everything without some kind of proof of concept in place.
Yeah. If you were to create a startup toolkit, what mm-hmm. would be inside of it, tangible or intangible?
I would say some savings in the bank. That's one. A good lawyer. That's two. And I would say a good product. I would say person maybe, or flow on how to build something. And it's difficult because sometimes you have an idea and you don't know how to go from idea to execution. And there are known methodology on how to accomplish that. And so that's what I would give to someone that wants to start.
Sure. What would you say has been the best part about being your own boss?
I can call the shots. I don't have someone that has to tell me what I have to do. So
what's the hardest part?
Is that you have to take care of a lot of people. And so you need to make sure that the decisions that you make are going to have a positive impact and not hurt them.
On a day-to-day basis, how is that different? You know, if somebody's still considering whether or not entrepreneurship is mm-hmm. right for them, mm-hmm. what does that, I don't want to say burden because it's a good thing, but mm-hmm. what does that responsibility look like to be, you know, have employees and yeah. have everything be on your shoulders?
It's a 24/7. It's tough. The journey is difficult. It's long, but it's rewarding. And so it's a nonstop type of thing that you keep thinking about. You keep thinking about what you're building. You keep thinking about the people that you hire. A lot of people put a lot of of belief in what you're doing, and so you have to respect that and be careful about what you do.
Mm-hmm. When you're making a tough decision, do you go off of research or your gut?
I usually start with my guts and then try to validate that with data.
Who is your number one mentor?
Mike Jones.
What is the best piece of advice that you received from him?
Move fast.
Elaborate on that. What do you? It's like how when does you that have an, look when, in your business?
And for me, like, I have a new app idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get to an app built and to market right away.
Don't sit on the idea. Like, come up with your minimum viable product, see if it works or not.
Yes.
If it doesn't, move on.
Get data right away. And exactly. And the next thing is, you know, don't be afraid to call it a day and move mm-hmm. on to the next thing.
I think that's something that isn't talked about enough in entrepreneurship, because a lot of times people are just talking about don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. And in general speaking, yes, don't give up on the business if there's something there, but you can waste a lot of time sticking with the wrong idea.
It's a tough balance, right? To not give up too early, but not give up too late, right? Giving up too early, you could miss on a big opportunity. Giving up too late, you may just kill the idea and the company itself. So it is tough. And I don't have a recipe for that. I don't have a formula for that.
How do you know? Do you go off again of that more gut feeling?
It's more gut feeling, but it's also some rules that you set after X amount of iteration. If you don't get the traction that you're looking for, and all, like myself, I always go with data. So I have numbers in mind that I want to reach. If I don't get to those numbers after 3 iterations, for example, I'll call it a day.
Yeah, because ultimately you have to look to your audience. Is there a response? And after iteration three, if it didn't work with your audience,
then it's probably not the right one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good summary. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about building the business. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Have you ever thought about becoming an entrepreneur? Are you tired of building somebody else's dream? Well, go build your own. Go to businessrockstars.com and find out how. Businessrockstars.com.
Hello, this is Kerry Hall, America's healthcare advocate, with your health tip of the week. Gum disease. Gum disease is an infection of the tissues that surround and support your teeth. It is a major cause of tooth loss in adults. Because gum disease is usually painless, you may not even know you have it. Also referred to as periodontal disease, gum disease is caused by plaque. You know, that sticky film of bacteria that's constantly forming on your teeth. Here are some warning signs you need to know that can signal you may have a problem. Gums that bleed easily. Red or swollen tender gums, gums that have pulled away from the teeth, persistent bad breath or bad taste, permanent teeth that are loose or separating, any change in the way your teeth fit together when you bite, or any change in the fit of partials or dentures. These are all signals that you may have a problem and it may be gum disease. So if you've got any of these issues or you think you have them, go see your dentist now if you suspect you have gum disease, because the sooner you treat it, the better. That's the way you solve gum disease.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Benoit Vatiri, continuing our conversation about his company, Mammoth Media, which is he is the CEO and co-founder of. So where did you come up with the idea for this business?
So my experience over the past, I would say, 10 years has been online. And I've seen the shift from desktop to mobile web to apps. And I've seen a lot of successful company on mobile, which are around games. And I believe that was a way to entertain users beyond games. And I wanted to really focus on premium content. But for that to happen, I realized that I have to own my monetization and my distribution. I cannot rely on a Facebook, on a Snapchat, on Instagram to get in front of users. So that's why I figured that here I had, if I wanted to be the next media empire when it comes to mobile, I could do this and nobody has done it yet. Building a distribution platform, a monetization platform, and then start thinking about formats.
Yeah, and obviously that's a huge feat. I mean, you're competing with the biggest of the big, you know? And so, but that's great. And having a huge vision is part of the equation. Mm-hmm. So give me a little bit of a behind the scenes look of what that looks like when you're wanting to build a huge platform like that.
It's a lot of engineers. So I have an office with probably now 15 to 20 engineers working nonstop. It's a lot of thinking around what it takes to acquire a user, because distribution and monetization comes from the ability to acquire yourself a user. So there is a lot of data involved. If you come to our office, it's screens everywhere. Like if you are on Wall Street trading stocks, it's a lot of green and red all over. It's a lot of engineering work, a lot of data work. And then product, because once you have that platform, now you need to have a product in place to put in front of those users.
Yeah. Coming up with capital in the beginning is always a challenge. How did you come up with the capital?
I went to raise a seed round. So first round, I went to Science, a startup studio / investor in the LA area. I knew Mike Jones was CEO and founder of Science, went to pitch him and raise a round to get going.
Any advice when it comes to pitching and securing funds?
Yeah, it's brutal. You're going to get a lot of no's, and probably you're going to get, I would say, at least 50 no's to get one yes. So keep that in mind. It's not because you're going to get your first 3, 4, 5 no's that you're not going to be able to raise money.
So it's a perseverance game.
Big time.
With that said, is there something that entrepreneurs can do to increase their odds?
Yes. Come with data in front of an investor. Because if it's just an idea, pretty much today, it doesn't cut it anymore to raise money just with an idea. So with a proof of concept, with data that supports that there is some traction, you don't need to have thousands and thousands of users, but some early data that tells you that there is some traction, or that tells you that could be some traction.
So you should be testing out your idea first and have that proof.
And come in front of the investors with that. And then when you are in front of the investors, don't go small, go big. They want to hear big.
What do you mean by that?
You're not the next $10 million company. You're the next $1 billion company.
Okay.
They don't care about the next $10 million campaign.
Yeah, and obviously it depends who you're exactly pitching to. But
of
yeah,
course.
In the arena that you're talking about, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your team.
So my team, it's a team of 5 executives. And it's a total of 40 employees now, all in Santa Monica, California. And it's a good mix, a third of engineers, a third of content, because that's the core of our business, content development, and a third of operations, which covers data, monetization, and user acquisition.
So what are you looking for when you're hiring a new team member?
Passion, 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 passion. Skills, of course, but with the same level of skills, I need someone that believes in the business and will be with me in that journey, like he is a founder.
So do you measure that in the interview?
In the interview process, yes, a lot.
How would you describe your work culture?
Work, I would say work hard, play hard, probably is the easiest one to define it. But beyond that is, yes, really, really focused. And you know, all of us are just with eyes on the prize.
Do you have any ways or practices that you implement into your office to really promote that work culture?
Yeah, I mean, all of us at the executive level are trying to communicate that to our teams. But in terms of focus, yes, we do. Like I do all hands once a week, and every all hands meeting in front of all the employees, I recap what are the goals for the next 4 weeks. And we go through all of this all together. So everybody has the same set of goals, no matter what, if you're an engineer, if you're a data scientist, or if you're a salesperson, you're all working towards the same goal. And I make sure I reiterate those goals every single week.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of times departments get so bogged down with what's right in front of them and lose sight of that bigger picture. Mm-hmm. But if they're connected to that bigger picture, it's going to make them more passionate, to your point earlier.
Yeah. Yes.
So what would you say has been the biggest challenge so far?
For this company, I would say the biggest challenge is to nail the quality of content, right? And for us, that's the core of our business. Obviously, now we have the platform, but we need to put content with that platform in front of users. And you realize that the quality of content really matters. And when we say premium content, there's a lot of premium content. And you can have amazing engagement with really strong content. But if the bar is too low, the users are not going to engage.
Let's talk about content for a second because it's only getting bigger, especially video content. And our entrepreneurs are, regardless of what industry they're in, they're probably content creators in some fashion, if nothing else, just on social media. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what is doing well in content?
I think a lot of folks out there are really thinking content or format for mobile first, which is really good. That makes you consume the content and engage the content a lot better. I think there are a lot of folks thinking about the quality of the content, but in my opinion, there is so many social, snackable, poor quality content, pranks, you know, fails, all that stuff that you see, cute animals all day long. And in my opinion, I mean, it's an oversaturation of that kind of content. and we need to raise the bar and get into what you can consume on the longer form, premium content, bring it to shorter form. And right now, it's not necessarily happening.
Okay, let's end on this fun note. And that is, if you weren't an entrepreneur, what position or role would you want to have in the world?
Huh. Probably politics.
Politics?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I think that's something that I love and very passionate about and would love to be part of that picture.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. Pleasure meeting you and learning about your journey.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Our lives are made up of millions of moments, and a new app called We Are Stars is looking to celebrate these milestones in our lives on a device that you always have with you and wrapped up in a beautiful presentation. We have its founder on the line, Dave Golikoff.
Things like birthdays, the New Year's, holidays, these are things that are big in our lives. And then when you start to look back and think, how many birthdays do I actually remember? Where was I for New Year's 3 years ago? On the website or the app, you see your whole life on one page. You can input moments being photos, being videos, you know, recipes, childhood things. It's essentially a digital calendar. And as you add moments, a star is created on that grid to denote that you have saved something there.
Search for We Are Stars, that's WERSTARS, at your favorite app store.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Black, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Rob Jacobs, the chief unsitter of Unsit. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Pleasure to be on, Mark. Really looking forward to it.
We've never had a chief unsitter on the show before, I'll tell you that.
I think there's only two in the world that I know of, myself and my partner up in Seattle.
There you go. So why don't you tell us what your company does?
Our mission is to unsit the world, America we're starting with, in offices, workplaces, homes, and schools. And we want to get people up out of their chairs and moving again.
Okay. And there's got to be some health benefits behind this. You can't just be telling everybody to stand.
No, an enormous amount of health benefits, Mark. It turns out I've been in the health and fitness business all my professional life. I don't want to date myself, but going back to the 1980s, I was in the Jane Fonda aerobics music, the aerobics movement, doing exercise classes, mostly to meet girls at the time, but also was a great way to get in shape. But I got into the fitness equipment business. Yeah. We outfitted movie stars and people of wealth with high-end custom home gym equipment. And then we got into commercial equipment. So I've always been involved in exercise and fitness equipment and then became a program director at the Pritikin Longevity Center in Santa Monica, where we use treadmills to pace people through an exercise program. Uh-huh. Subsequent to that, I started a store called the Walking Center in Beverly Hills. And the Walking Center was all about using treadmills and walking as a modality to get into fitness and exercise.
Okay.
And the treadmills are unique to other exercise equipment because they pace you. They keep you going and keep you moving. Yeah. Whereas if you're sitting on an exercise bike in a spinning class,
You can stop
and you have to use your mental ability to motivate yourself to go, or a teacher in a spinning class to make
you
go.
Or a treadmill's going to keep going.
It's always keep going. You have to keep up. And it's a perfectly natural movement. We're born to walk. Our bodies are engineered and mechanically to walk. It's a perfectly natural
Let's talk about some of those health benefits real quick, because I don't want people to tune out real quick, because it's like, oh, it's about, you know, standing and not sitting down. Health benefits, short and sweet. Give us here's why sitting is bad and here's why standing is good.
Yeah, well, here it is. Sitting has a plethora of health ailments that are rooted in sitting. The guy who put all the science behind this is a guy named Dr. James Levine out of the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, who studied movement and came to the conclusion that sitting is the real cause. The issues are, when you sit, your calorie burn drops to darn near zero. The reason is your brain gets a signal that you're going to sleep because there's no weight on your feet. Mm. When you put weight on your feet, your brain gets a signal that we're awake, there's threats, there's opportunities, let's go after them. And metabolism revs up and you start to burn calories. When you sit, calorie burn drops to zero, or near zero. And that's a big health problem. The cardiovascular system is strained. It drops very low. You're putting pressure on the back of the legs and the glutes where there's not supposed to be pressure. It starts to cut circulation. The lumbar spine arches the wrong way. So you get pressure on the disc. That leads to sciatica and all kinds of other low back ailments. Then people start rounding shoulders. Neck comes forward. You get cervical neck problems. And there's if you look and talk to people who are working in offices for a long period of time, those are big health ailments. Blood sugar burn drops very low. So you're sitting, you're going to sleep, you need a cup of coffee and a donut. So blood sugar goes skyrocketing up.
I don't know if that's a breakfast, but.
Yeah. Well, but people reach.
A lot of people unfortunately do though. That is a breakfast for a lot of people.
It is, unfortunately. And even if it's a healthy breakfast, you're taking in a lot of calories, a lot of sugar. Your body has no way to burn it because you're stuck in a chair. If you're out moving, you could burn that sugar up. You're stuck in a chair, no way to burn it. So now the pancreas is overloaded. Insulin spikes. This leads to obesity. This leads to diabetes and a whole plethora of health ailments that come out of sitting. Creativity also drops, and so does productivity. And that's the area that our company's interested in. We believe strongly that the health benefits are kind of obvious. People know about it. Yeah. You get people up out of your chair and moving, you'll have a tremendous lift in your physical energy level. But we've also found, and I personally found in my life, that creativity improves. Mm. Productivity improves. I get more done. I'm taking in a lot less caffeine. In fact, I'm down to zero now. Yeah. I get to the end of the day, there's no afternoon lull. You know, I'm energetic. I'm ready to go. I don't feel like I'm spent. I haven't had a workout yet. I still do a regular fitness program.
Okay.
But there's no nodding off in the afternoon. I'm creative. I'm productive. I'm getting more done.
All from just standing.
I'm mostly walking because I have a what I call a walking desk. Most people are calling it a treadmill desk.
Yeah.
We've dubbed it a walking desk because it's a desk you can be walking at.
So standard treadmill. I know you can buy them. You can actually buy a specific walking desk, treadmill desk.
Right. So what we've done, my partner and I were in the fitness equipment business for many years. All the treadmill desks that are out there, they've just taken a standard fitness treadmill, a little bit of fine tuning to it, and they've stuck it under a desk. The problem there is the treadmill for fitness is narrow. You're stuck in one line. You can't, if there's something over there on your desk, you can't get it. Mm. So we made the treadmill twice as wide. So it takes up the whole space under your desk. You can now walk and use the whole width of your desk. You can meander around, kind of like meandering on a walk, and get a lot more use out of it.
Well, you said you wish you were going to bring one. I do too. Now we're going to have to cut B-roll shots and of this walking desk.
I've got some great shots you can cut in, or I can come back out with the treadmill desk and do a shoot out in the out in the common area. We also made the treadmill half as long. Most fitness treadmills are about 5 feet long, so it uses a lot of space behind your desk, which in a tight office situation is undesirable. So we reformatted the whole shape of the treadmill. We engineered it to go extremely slow, because when you're working at a desk, you're not running, you're not doing a workout. Yeah. You just want to keep your legs moving, because if you stand, I started out as a standing desk, and I found very quickly, you can't stand more than about 10, 15 minutes, your legs start to get achy. Mm. And the reason your legs are getting achy is they're not moving and you've got blood flow going down to the legs. It can't get back up. They get reoxygenated and you get achy legs.
So ironically, standing still at a desk is more tiring than walking at a desk.
That's what I found. And that's what the science proves, is that you can stand for about 10 or 15 minutes and you start to get leg fatigue. There's no circulation and it's uncomfortable. And that's why people start moving around. They start putting their feet up. They end up going back to sitting. But you can walk all day long. And there's no achy legs. It's a fantastic experience.
And you're burning calories, staying awake, staying focused, staying creative.
Exactly. Now, just want to caveat people know that there are a lot of times I do pause the treadmill if I'm doing very precise manual work, graphics on a computer or a detailed spreadsheet. There are times I'll hit pause.
You don't want to be moving up and down a little bit.
Right. Exactly. You just want to hold it. There are times you want to pause. Yeah. So I don't walk all day long, but I walk up probably about 60-70%
of the day. I think it's about making those micro commitments.
That's correct.
You don't have to do this thing for 10 hours. Just start doing it a little bit and start to incrementally replace the amount of time sitting with standing or walking.
That's right. So I'll tell you my personal story, Mark. What happened to me is a friend of mine came to me, wanted to build a treadmill desk. And I thought it was a silly idea. I thought this whole thing with the idea of just slow walking is exercise. I was very skeptical because I'm a fitness guy. My background is getting people to 80% of max heart rate for 20 minutes, four times a week, this kind of exercise prescription. So I was a skeptic. But when I started tinkering around with it myself, I started out with a piece of plywood on an old treadmill and I just started fashioning a desk and seeing what it was like to work at a desk. I would start out doing about 15, 20 minutes at a time. Then I'd go back to my regular desk. Gradually, over about 6 months, that flip where I was no longer using my sitting desk, I was 100% at my treadmill desk, and I now have gotten rid of, I sold on eBay four state-of-the-art Herman Miller Aeron chairs that I had in my home office. My wife, my two kids, we all had a Herman Miller Aeron chair. They're gone, sold them on eBay, and we all have standing and treadmill desks, and we do it all the time. So I just completely migrated over.
That's awesome.
And a lot of this, Mark, is about integrating exercise into your whole lifestyle. Yeah. So when I grew up, people would work all day in the office, then you have your gym bag and you go over to the gym and work out for an hour after you spent all day sitting in a chair. Yeah. So it was sort of a separate compartmentalized lifestyle. Yeah, yeah. But now, younger people and myself too, we want to integrate it. Yeah. So my whole day is about moving and exercise. I don't get to I don't have that end of the day feeling where, oh, I'm whipped. I've got to get to the gym because I've been sitting all day.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore in my lifestyle. Okay.
I love that. And you just basically summed it up right there, is it's finding a way to integrate a healthier lifestyle in with your daily routine. We've got the chief unsitter officer right here with us of Unsit, Rob Jacobs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to know, you were saying that for companies, right, and schools, it's about increasing productivity and having an actual tangible return on how standing helps produce better results for the company. So who's the exact client profile for what you ideally teach and sell this to? Is it the consumer? Is it companies that have a return on seeing how, all of a sudden, all of our salespeople and telemarketers started standing and the results, tripled or 30%.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you brought up telemarketers because there was a study done in a call center, and call centers are a great place to study this
stuff. I've read many studies about how important it is as a telemarketer to stand for the physiology and your tonality shift. Yep. From standing versus sitting.
Yep. Standing. And then if you're moving ads to it, and but not just telemarketers, even customer service call centers, people get fatigued, they get tired. So, and there's been some good studies where they've shown increased productivity measured by how many calls did they field, the satisfaction of the people they're talking to.
Because if I'm tired and I hear a bunch of no's, my energy goes down, my morale goes down, my motivation goes down. Right. Therefore, my amount of calls goes down. And has a direct impact on the bottom line of the company.
100%. And in addition, long-term, bigger companies who are self-insured or are paying high premiums for insurance for people, they know that long-term, those people are going to be health risks. They're going to have obesity. They're going to have diabetes. They're going to have low back problems, musculoskeletal issues, all related to sitting. So they want to get people up out of the chair as many hours a day as they can. Okay. So we just launched at the end of 2016, and we're just getting going now. Some of our sales are to some of these larger companies who are looking for a way to integrate this. Some have just put one or two in, and they've got people, it's a shared desk situation where workers can come up from their regular desk and do 20, 30 minutes of walking. A lot of executives have bought these. Interestingly enough, Mark, lawyers are the profession that buys them the most. Lawyers really like treadmill desks. We've got a number of people because they're doing a lot of briefing, a lot of dictating, a lot of conference calls, webinars. People who are watching this show right now, if you're sitting down, you should be up at a treadmill desk.
I bet there's people listening right now that have already stood up if they're not driving or if they're at their office or something, right?
That's right.
In a situation where they can't.
Because look, as all of us in today's modern work lifestyle, we're on conference calls, we're on Skype calls, we're on webinars. That's a perfect time to be up and walking. There's no reason to be sitting for an experience like that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm a huge advocate of health and finding always different ways. That's why the first thing I said was one of those stand-up boards. I was like, oh, we both, right?
No, great.
And we had that guy on the show. It's like, stand-up boards is something that's a trend, new types of mats. I even saw something, I don't know if it was on Shark Tank or if it was just an ad that I saw online. And it was a new platform of a thing like this for your desk you sat on, and then you can put your laptop, your computer, whatever, and you just simply give it a little push and it unlocks and then lifts up. And so it goes from a sit-down desk to a stand-up desk anytime you want.
Yep, there's a variety.
So you're probably aware of all of the different stand-up stuff.
I just attended the
chief unsitter.
The chief unsitter. I just attended the Ergo Expo in the end of November, about 6 weeks ago out in Las Vegas. And it's an exhibition of products and services around ergonomics in the workplace. And there were a lot of adjustable height desks, like you're describing, things that sat on top of the desk.
So many different types, right? Electronic ones, you press a button and it goes up.
Right, and those are all part of the solution. The standing boards, the fluid stance, those products are terrific parts of products that help people unsit. Okay. We've developed a unique treadmill that can go under any of those desks. So if your listeners or viewers already have a adjustable height desk, our treadmill will fit underneath
Supplement for it
to add on to what they're already doing.
Interesting. Well, I've got a question, but I'm going to have to bring it up in our next segment when we come back. We'll be right back with Rob Jacobs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Finding a good mentor can be difficult, but luckily you can teach yourself a lot of what you need to know nowadays. Here are a few tips to get you started. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, take online classes. They're extremely affordable and you'll be able to fit them into your schedule very easily. Even the United States Patent and Trademark Office teaches a free course on how to file patents. Number two, go to a trade show. Walking the floor of a trade show is one of the best ways to learn about an industry very quickly. What are the new products? Where is the industry headed? Who is your future competition? You can answer these questions and more all at a trade show. Number three, networking. There are meetups for entrepreneurs almost every day in every city. LinkedIn groups are another great resource. You never know, you may find your next partner at the next event you attend. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Kriebel.
A woman in Philadelphia having an argument with her boyfriend in a restaurant got so angry she threw a soft drink at him. Then, as she was storming away, she slipped on the wet floor and broke her tailbone. Never mind that the floor was wet because of the drink she herself had thrown. She was still so angry she decided to sue. She did not sue the boyfriend because he didn't have any money. She sued the restaurant for having a wet floor. A jury ordered the restaurant to pay her $113,000. Her medical bills were real, of course, but does that make the business owner responsible? Looking through the lens of liberty, if we see any law-abiding citizen being held liable for the bad behavior of another, it ought to make us all angry, and we should do something about it.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. We've got Rob Jacobs. He's the chief unsitter of Unsit. Recap first, what you come to us?
Mark, our company Unsit is unsitting America in workplaces, homes, and schools.
Well, I told you the question I wanted to ask is, you guys have your main product being, you can have basically a walking treadmill at your desk, or you can get the full package, the desk and everything built in with it. But my question is, as we touched on, there's so many different options out there now as the trend for standing up while getting work done becomes more popular. How are you positioned as a preeminent brand and option and choice amongst all the different things out there that somebody could choose? How are you positioned as a market leader?
Well, Mark, the one is our product. We spent over a year. My partner has also been in the exercise and business of designing and engineering equipment for exercise. We spent a lot of time tinkering, making prototypes, trying them out. And we realized that the treadmills that are being a traditional fitness treadmill, is just not the optimum solution. It's designed for exercise. So we redesigned and optimized the treadmill to be used under a desk. It's twice as wide as a conventional treadmill. Okay. So you can use the whole width of your desk. That's a huge, unique selling proposition. We made it half as long, so it doesn't consume a lot of space behind your desk. Okay. If you're in a tight office situation, a cubicle or so forth, or even a home office, you don't want to be tripping over a big contraption behind your desk. Yeah. So twice as wide, half as long. We engineered it to go extremely slow. And what we call library quiet. When you're walking on our treadmill.
I like that, library quiet. Trademark that phrase.
Right, well, I did.
Okay.
and that's very important because if you're in an open office situation with coworkers, the last thing your coworkers want to hear is who's the nerd on the treadmill desk?
Yeah, yeah.
Making all this noise.
The whole time.
So ours goes slow because we engineered the optimum efficiency at a very slow speed. Okay. It only goes to 2 miles an hour.
And you can't adjust the speed, that was my question.
From 0.3 mile an hour, which is hardly moving, up to 2 miles an hour, which is a slow walk. But because the motor is extremely efficient at those speeds, it's extremely quiet. So people are always surprised and pleased that they can put it in an open office environment or in a home office where you
and
might have
it. And it's plugged into the wall, I'm assuming?
It requires a conventional 110 Atlas. It does require a normal convenience outlet to run it. So the product is, we also made it look like it fits into an office. Most fitness treadmills are all black and they're meant to be sweat on. So ours is a clean white frame, and maybe we can get some pictures up and some of the intercutting.
So you do have some proprietary technology, and it sounds like you've probably filed patents. If you trademarked the phrase, then you're obviously in a position where I know you filed patents for the technology and the use and everything like that. So that helps you position yourself.
That's right. We have a design patent for the product. Yeah. We think that's very defendable. I know design patents aren't something you build a business on, but it's an important aspect of what we do.
You just have to do it. It's just one of those things.
One of the other features we put into the product that nobody's done yet, and I was amazed, there are patents out there where people have patented to try to do this, but nobody's actually employed it. Our treadmill automatically stops when you step off. And this is really important.
So it's weight.
We have weight. Yeah, I don't want to tell you how we did it, but we know if you're standing on the desk, on the deck of the treadmill, we know if somebody's there. And if there's not, the treadmill stops. Very important in an open office environment where people often step off the treadmill to go to the copy machine, to go to the printer, get a glass of water, a cup of coffee.
Without having like a standard, typical treadmill, you have to clip that silly thing on your shirt.
Right.
So if you fell or something, then it automatically pulls the thing and shuts down. But yours is pressure sensorized.
Correct. Those safety lanyards are on our product. They're required for insurance purposes and for legal reasons. So
we provide
that. The problem with those, nobody wears them. And it's not foolproof.
I ain't going to clip that thing on me.
go to a health club. Yeah, you never see anybody wearing those things. No. They should, but they don't. We have it on ours. So we made it foolproof. You step off the treadmill, it won't go. So you can't have a moving belt.
And if it's only going 2 miles an hour, that stops pretty quick.
It stops pretty quick. But the thing is, even 2 miles an hour, if an unsuspecting coworker stepped on the platform without knowing, it could be a terrible injury. So ours can't go without it. So that's one of the other unique selling propositions that we built into the product. So our product's unique. It's the first treadmill to be optimized for use under a desk. Okay. We developed a really aspirational brand that we're really proud of. If you go onto our website, unsit.com, you'll see the look and feel. And we're focusing this thing on the creative, productive aspect of the business. Yeah. The other companies are all focused on fitness and wellness, which is important. Mm-hmm. And our product gives those benefits as well. But
you got to find a niche, and you guys did that.
Creativity and the mental side of this is a really important aspect. People working in office environments, that's what they're doing. They're working with their minds and their brains, and anything they can do to enhance their creativity and their productivity mentally, it gives them an edge.
So, well, I love that. I think that it's a fantastic point that you brought up, because even though you are essentially solving the same issues, you found a way to just hit it from a different angle. Even though you guys just launched this product pretty recently, you spent a lot of time doing your research, a lot of time protecting what you've created. And I think you've created something special. We've got the chief unsitter of Unsit, Rob Jacobs, in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. And we're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Let's shift gears a little bit off of the product. I think we've hammered that home.
Yep.
I think it sounds like it's a phenomenal product. Again, I think the guys are going to have to cut some B-roll in here of exactly what it is from your site. But my question is, as we shift gears and focus more on the business side of things, how are you getting distribution? How are you selling this? How are you marketing it? Because at the end of the day, there's an old saying, great products don't make money, great marketing does. So let's talk about the sales and the marketing behind this.
Yep. Okay, well, the first thing we did is we've financed the company ourselves, Mark. We decided not to bring in investors at this stage, because I've started up a lot of companies in my life, and there's nothing worse than being successful and then somebody else owns it. So we've done it out of our personal savings. We've gone slow. Okay. We spent a lot of time developing the product R&D. So far, no investors, just the active partners that are working in the business. We did partner up with a manufacturer who we used to work with in the fitness business, and he fronted a lot of the R&D work, which is a very important part of how we got off the ground, and he fronted us the first two containers of product, which has allowed us to start our cash flow up. We also partnered with an office furniture company, company called Unisource that does contract office furniture. So they're supplying a lot of defense industry contractors and a lot of movie studios here in LA. They're supplying all their office furniture. So they've been our channel into the office furniture market. Uh-huh. And they're partnered in the business. And they're out there putting our product into their proposals. And we're starting to get a few nibbles at it where large companies are interested. So the distribution through the commercial business to business is through one of our partners. Okay. And then we've done our own online. We built our own e-commerce website that's up now. You can go to unsit.com and check out what we're doing. And we're now focused on our analytics, trying to identify exactly who our customer is and, you know, what's going to motivate them to go all the way through the process and buy. Yeah.
So let's say somebody wants to get on the early bird list, or maybe they even want to just check you out and what you're doing. Yeah. Where can they go and see more about this?
Well, unsit.com is our website. We've got a Facebook page, unsit.greatmindsmove. That's our tagline. Okay. And we've got some reviews coming out in the next couple of months. And we're on Business Rockstars.
It's hard. And you're on Business Rockstars. It's hard to get a URL domain that's five letters.
Yep.
Unsit. And you guys were able to lock one in. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Thank you. It took a little bit of negotiating.
I'm excited to see this thing take off. And you know, I'm gonna have to check it out. I'm gonna have to check it out for myself.
So. Mark, I'm hoping that by the time I come back for our next interview, this set will be equipped with walking desks. I'd be happy to supply them.
We'll have a full stand-up interview studio. We'll be the only guys doing stand-up interviews.
I'll provide the equipment. All your interviews should be up and walking, and I'll be happy to come back and set it up for you guys.
Rob, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Looking
forward. Appreciate
you. All right.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com. And soon we'll be all standing up.